Got thinking about this saying. There's a football saying that says on any given Sunday something great will happen on a football field, but I just feel like we could coin this phrase: on any given Wednesday night, God will show up and do something amazing here on a midweek service. We saw it last week, and I believe there's an expectation, there's a desire for just more of that, where he just visits with us, and it's so awesome. We do have a couple announcements. This Sunday morning, we were going to have after the morning service, we were going to have a department head meeting. That has been rescheduled till the 10th. And then we are going to have a short meeting for servers for harvest party that we're going to be having. And we are needing more servers. I see that there is a shortage of servers that are signed up so far. And then we are going to need definitely more soup, because every year it seems like we grow in number for the people that come in here. So if you have a recipe and you like to make something, and you might like to make a large portion, bring it a week from Thursday. And then let's pray for our offering. Lord, I thank you, Lord, again, that we could be in your house, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for there's an expectation here, Lord. You're filling this place with your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are just hungry for you, Lord. And you're going to satisfy our hunger and our longing in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering and every faithful and cheerful giver in this place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I will trust in you. Cause you're all I need.
He's all you need. You don't need doctors. You don't need all the money in the bank. You don't need anything else. Whatever the world tells you you need, you don't need any of that. He's all we need. Amen. His presence, His anointing, His mercy, His grace, that's all we need because He's got everything. That's all we need. Amen. Amen. It feels good in church tonight. Amen. We want to move into a time of prayer. If we have any special needs, we open it up. Please let us know what we can pray for tonight. Are there any needs represented? Sister D. Amen. Either it'd go better or he'd sell it, preferably sell it. Preferably find a buyer. A good buyer. A great buyer. Why not? Why not? A great buyer. Sister Sue Ann. Amen. Amen. We want to lift up the ladies and that whole convention. We want it to go tremendous. Sister Pat? Yes. Sister Connie and Sister Rachel are in Michigan right now with Connie's sister, Julie, and Sister Doris's son. You just said his name, Johnny. He is in the last phase of cancer, and it doesn't look good. Right now, and so it just, God knows the situation, God knows the need. Sister Connie and Rachel are there right now, and I believe Sister Robin might be going there this weekend just to have support there for Julie during this time. But we want to lift up Sister Dora, the entire Adkins greater family. God's a miracle worker, God's a peacekeeper. We just need God to step into that situation. Sister Darlene, we need a church van. We need a church van. We need a good church van. We need a great church van. And the youth to put in it, and the kids to put in it, and the ladies to put in it, and the men to put in it, and everyone, the dogs, why not? We'll have a dog ministry. Cats, go ahead. Guinea pigs. But we need a church van. Talk about bad reports from the doctor. We got a bad report from the auto body shop from on that van. So we just need a miracle and God's able. Brother Mike, continue to keep Brother Mike's work situation and his body as well in prayer. Amen. Amen. That we would just, God would touch every work situation. We'd be a light and Remember to keep them in your prayers, Sister Carrie. Yeah. Any other needs? Well, let's take... Amen. Any other unspoken requests? Let's take all these needs together. Let's present them to God and trust that He's a working God. Amen. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that You touch each and every one of these needs, every one of these requests. We lift them up to You right now, God. You know, You heard each and every one. God, You know the situation with Devin James. You know, God, what's going on. I pray for this new doctor. Give him wisdom. I pray for favor. I pray You just work into that situation, work into their lives. God, You know with Sister Connie and Sister Rachel where they're at. God, with Johnny, with the Adkins family, I pray that You would step into that situation. You know what You're doing. God, touch every work situation. Touch D's brother-in-law's business. God, just touch every situation that was presented. God, work as only You can work. We know that You're in it. We know that You're working, and we thank You for it. We thank You for the miracles that You're going to do. God, You're in it, and Your work can provide safety for our ladies that are traveling for ladies' conference. Be with them, God. You just know every need, and we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We do want to have prayer for our loved ones. We're continuing to do this, so we know the needs, we know the names. Let's just transition and continue praying specifically for our loved ones. In Jesus' name. God, we thank You, Lord, that You see our family. You see our brothers, our sisters, our children, God, our moms and dads. And we pray we lift them up, God. We know exactly where they're at. You know where they're at. And I pray that we would love them, that when they come in, we would be able to show them love, that they would be able to feel the presence of the Almighty God, or that they would know that You're fighting for them, that You're working on their behalf. We love You, Jesus. We love our families, and we pray that You would reach to them and to touch them and to use them for Your purpose. God, use us to be a light. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we have one more prayer that we want to pray, and we want to have some of the guys and everyone turn their attention. This is Jeremiah's last service with us as he transitions and makes the move. But we want God to go with him. We want, as well as that, him to know that he has a family here, that he's welcome here, that if any point, you know, circumstances change, that there is a place for him here at FAC. So if some of the guys could gather around and everybody just reach their hands toward Jeremiah, we want God to go with him during this move. In Jesus' name. Amen. I do have something personal, and we'll move on with the service, but I sent it out to a few people when we rescheduled the meeting, but my grandmother had passed away. We had prayed for her last Wednesday night, and we knew the circumstances were, really the doctors told us it was going to be within the next week or two. Her body, dementia had taken over and had shut down a lot of the vital systems. But the good news is that she lived for the Lord for 83 years, and that she passed away at 1 a.m. this morning, and that my parents were able to fly down and actually, through the heartache, my dad has four brothers, so all five sons and all of their wives were able to be in the hospital room yesterday afternoon and into the evening. And if you know some of my dad's brothers and the circumstances that surround the families, I told my wife, I don't know the last time all of the husbands and the wives have been in the same room and not had issues and incidents. And so, but truly just the fact that they were able to be there together with her, and then the fact that it wasn't two more weeks of suffering and pain. God's just merciful. And so saying that to say, my wife and I are even now trying to figure out what we're going to do. The funeral is Saturday in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're trying our best to fly. However, trying to get a ticket now, unless a couple people have $1,000 to spare, we would love to. But it looks like we might be making the drive down and being there and potentially unable to be back on Sunday for service. So we will update. We'll send out an email. But we do want to let you know if we are not here, it is not because we do not like you. We are just trying to make sure we're there for the family and there to see just to be there. I mean, you understand what we're trying to do, and I thank you. I had already talked to a few people, and we didn't want to miss because we know we just got the gig and we don't want you guys to kick us out. But I was telling Brother Mike this, and that's how it would feel with a normal group of people. But Brother Mike reminded me, as well as a few others, this is a family. We understand, and I had to be reminded that you all are special people, and would never hold anything against us, I hope. And if you would, just don't tell us and we'll feel better about it. Sister Darlene. We can't get away this easy, huh? So just as an update, just keep the Johnson family as a whole. My grandmother, my dad is the only one still connected to church, still living for the Lord. Her other four sons went away from the Lord at some point. And unfortunately, I've said to my family, it probably was going to take my grandmother passing away if there was ever going to be an opening, because there's just a lot of bitterness and a lot of stuff, a lot of life got in the way. So just pray for that God would just reach. If this was the thing that took to connect her sons back to the Lord, she would have gladly left this world behind a long time ago for that. So appreciate your prayer. And at this point, the youth can be dismissed. I do believe there's some root beer floats going up there for Jeremiah. So if you guys want to save extra ones for us, yeah. I turn around and everyone's gone. I'd be first in line. I don't know. But want to turn our attention tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And as we're getting there, I'm going to put her on the spot. But would you like to say anything? You've already spoken up, so now you got to speak up for a good thing. Awesome. He is good. He is faithful. He is holy. He is merciful. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto him life everlasting. Tonight we're going to highlight one more of God's attributes. I believe we're nearing a close. I feel something kind of transitioning from this, but I know I've said it every night. We could spend a month or a year or 2 years on just who God is and the many mighty attributes of God. But tonight I want to focus that God is merciful. God is merciful. You can be seated tonight. As we look at the mercy of God, it's one of the many, many, many attributes we use to describe him. I wanted to look specifically at the meaning of mercy. Because oftentimes we say God is graceful, God is merciful, God has grace, God has mercy. And we kind of use those words interchangeably because they are very similar in what and who God is and what he does and what his attributes are. And they go hand in hand, but they actually have different meanings. And we can intermingle them and really we'd be close to scripturally accurate, but it's not exactly true. And when you see the word grace, it's actually in the Hebrew, charis, and it has ties, and it doesn't exactly line up, but through the words and how it's used, the real definition is it's the freeness of God's love. God's grace is charis. It's just kind of a free love that he gives to us. It's which is how we would interpret grace. It's really free love that he offers to us that we don't deserve, and it's abundant, it's available, and it lines up with what we believe of grace. But when we look at the word mercy, it's most often translated to ilios, and that has deeper connections, and what the definition really is, if you break it down and figure out all the different variations of ilios in the Bible, the connections are connections to misery. However, the connections always line up from misery to relief. And if you look at it, it's you're miserable, but then there was relief provided. That's what mercy really breaks down to. And a theologian put it this way, that charis is his free grace and gifts displayed in the forgiveness of sins, extended to men as they are guilty. Ilios is extended to men as they are miserable. So they both are free grace, or they're both free gifts displayed in the forgiveness, but grace goes to men or women who are guilty, whereas mercy goes to men or women who are miserable in their guilt. Miserable, which I have been, and many of us have lined up and say, we would be miserable if it weren't for God's mercy. There'd be no relief from sadness. There'd be no relief from shame. There'd be no relief from bitterness if it wasn't for the mercy of God. And so as we look deeper into the scripture at the mercy of God, there's many different attributes or many different ways we see the mercy of God show forth through him and into our lives. But probably the most obvious and the most important one is that God's mercy brings salvation. That we would not have the opportunity for salvation without the mercy of God. It is his mercy that gives us the opportunity for salvation. And Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." How many could say that we were dead in sin? That we all at some point in our life have been dead in sin more times than not, some of us. And we've either willingly or unwillingly, Paul writes to Timothy in our text that it was by ignorance he was dead in sin. It was by ignorance. And we've been there either by not knowing or by choiceful ignorance sometimes. But we've all been dead in our sin, but it is God who is rich in mercy. I like that verbiage. I like the way they put it in the King James. You didn't have to take it to the NIV like we did on Sunday, Brother Kellum, but he is rich in mercy. He's not hurting for mercy. He's got an abundant amount of mercy. His pockets, when he walks down the street, mercy is spilling out of his pockets. That's how much mercy he has. And although we were dead in sin, although we had no chance, had no opportunity, had no reason for God's mercy, he still saw fit to share his richness of his mercy with us, to overcome all shortcomings. His mercy that was poured out in the form of his blood on Calvary is why we can have salvation today. It's only by the mercy of God we're saved. Paul writes in Titus 3:5, I just liked to use the book of Titus. I don't get to do it that often. As a child, someone would say the book of Titus, and I'd look up, and all of a sudden was very alert. And I would tell people, I would pretend to mouth as the pastor was saying, like I knew, like I wrote it. It was funny the first time, not too many times after. But in Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Our works cannot, will not, have never, and will never bring salvation. Nothing, you and I could be the best person in the world. We could live in a dirt hut with no clothes and no money because we gave everything to the poor. We never fed ourselves. We just fed those around us. Good for you. But all of that sacrifice could never obtain salvation. It is by God's mercy he saved us. It's not by any works of righteousness. So if you feel like you're unqualified because you've not done enough good, you're in good company. You could have done all the good in the world and still not be qualified, not have done enough for God's salvation or for salvation with God, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then it goes on, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He uses baptism. He uses the Holy Ghost. He uses faith in him for salvation. And it's that by his mercy we can obtain it. Paul writes in Romans, he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I shall have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He's using text. He quotes exactly from Exodus 33:19 when he says, when God told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But it's not for them that runneth. It's not for them that willeth. It's not for them that worketh, is what he's saying. It's not for them that are running or fighting or willing it to happen. It's none of that matters. What matters is whom God chooses to have mercy and compassion upon. And I'll get into a minute who God will choose to put that mercy and compassion on. But it's what we're trying to get across is that God's mercy is for every single person. You could not qualify, you could not obtain God's mercy by anything you could ever do. It's just simply who he is, and it's just simply who you are. You are a child of God. So therefore, you have the opportunity to obtain his mercy and his salvation. Not because you're tall, not because you're short, not because your mommy's in church or your daddy raised you right. None of that matters. That doesn't interfere with your salvation. What matters is that God wants to provide mercy for you. Where would we be without the mercy of God? You know, we sing songs about it, but truly, where would we be without God's great mercy? I know where I would be, but I don't even want to think about where I'd be. But the psalmist writes in Psalms 86:13, great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. We would be in the lowest hell, locked away for eternity, if it was not for the mercy of God. But God, but his mercy, but his faithfulness, but his mercy towards us. And he said that I have something for you. You should be in the lowest pit of hell. You should be locked away. You should be. But I'm mercy, and I have great mercy towards you. And we all want mercy, and we want really we want God to be happy with us. I would say most of us would like us to have a good relationship with God, and one where he's not mad at us and angry with us. We're like a child with a parent. Most of the time, you want to be on your dad's good side. If you're on your dad's good side, good things happen. If you're on your dad's bad side, the belt comes off. So why would we want to be with that? And we want to please our father and make him proud. Still to this day, you know, even more so to this day, I want to make my father proud. It's what a son wants to do. Even to the point I told the story about the film on Sunday about New York City and all of that. And I even told the story about how when I was preparing for that, I felt guilty and felt I should contact my dad and apologize. And Sunday night or Monday night, we were FaceTiming my parents so they could see the baby. They didn't want to see us, but we're FaceTiming. And I told my dad, I told the story, and I told him, just be warned when you visit, if someone pretend takes a picture, it's my fault. But I did, in that moment, just tell my dad. And it was kind of a weird emotional moment, but I did tell him, sorry. And my dad is a weird personality. He's like me. This is going off the rails. Get back to the notes. But he is as put together and as confident and as structured and organized, but often will not show emotion. He can keep it together and he can be composed. But the weirdest thing, a commercial for something, a puppy on TV, that could hit him the right way. And you would look over and not just his eyes are wet, I mean, tears are running for my dad. But then something could happen and he could keep it together and be strong for the family. And it's very bizarre. But in that moment, while I'm telling my dad, Dad, I'm actually sorry for the many years of teasing you, you could see an emotional thing kind of crept in on him, which of course got me. And it's like, okay, here's the baby. Look at the baby. She's making a noise. She's cute. I think we should have had a baby a long time ago. It just gets you out of situations. But I felt in the moment, I just wanted my dad to know that I'm proud of him, that he planned a trip for us, and the only thing I remember is the one negative about the entire trip, so I apologize. But we all want our dad to be proud of us and to take pleasure in us. It's what we would like to do. And Psalms 147:10 tells us what delights God, tells us what makes God happy and how he would take pleasure in us. It says, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope for his mercy. It's saying that the legs of a man or the strength of a horse, he doesn't care. He's not proud. God's not sitting in heaven talking to his angels about how strong you are, how put together you are, how well spoken you are, how you got it all together, how much money you have. That God takes no delight in that. Another translation says takes pleasure in that. God doesn't take pleasure in that. He only takes pleasure in the people that fear him and in those that hope for his mercy. Another translation says those that trust in his mercy. If you really want to give God pleasure, if you really want to get in your car and God to be happy about you, I mean, the scripture says he delights, he takes pleasure in. If you want to give God, who doesn't really need pleasure, and I'm not sure how that all works out, but make him feel good about you, lean upon God's mercy. Trust upon God's mercy. Take advantage of God's mercy that he's given to you. And I don't mean take advantage as you would take advantage of someone and pull the wool over their eyes. Not in that context, but take advantage of the fact that he has mercy available for you, that he is presenting daily to you, and the only thing that he delights in is you using that mercy. Why would you not take advantage of that mercy and say, God, I will ask for forgiveness. I will lean upon you. I will hope in you. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. Amen. There's no worse thing you could do is to know of God's mercy and not take advantage of God's mercy. When you avoid or refuse the mercy of God, His forgiveness, His loving kindness, His grace, then you are avoiding or refusing the very reason He went to the cross for you. You are saying, I know you did that to provide mercy, to provide grace, to provide salvation for me. I know that was probably hard for you, Jesus. Thanks. But actually, I'm going to continue doing the things that I want to do and pleasing my flesh. And I'm not really going to take advantage of that mercy. Thanks. It looks good. It was a lot of sacrifice, but maybe it's not really for me. And that's the worst thing we could do. But the best thing we could do, which it seems kind of counterproductive, but the best thing we could do is come to God and say, God, I need more mercy. God, I messed up again today, so I'm here for more mercy. God, I sinned even though I didn't want to. I didn't mean to. I made a mistake. I lashed out. I was angry. I was jealous. I lusted. I did whatever, God, like I did yesterday, and I asked for mercy yesterday, and you gave it to me. God, I'm in the same place. I don't want to be in this place, but God, I need your mercy. And God says, yes, I have mercy for you. I delight in giving you mercy. I want to give you mercy. I'm happy to give you my mercy. The worst thing we could do is we do those things and we say, man, I've made too many mistakes. And we turn and leave an altar and just walk out. And we say, well, God doesn't have mercy for me. I messed up too many times. And we get in our car and we think, because we all do this, we need to punish ourselves. We need to beat ourselves up because we've been so bad, and I know how bad I've been, so therefore I can't have anything good. It's not how God works. God doesn't want you to punish yourself because He's not punishing you. God wants you to forgive yourself because He's offering forgiveness. Yes, you messed up. Yes, you aren't where you should be. Yes, you made a mistake. We've all done it. We've all been there. We all will be there at some point in our lives, but we will continue to take advantage of God's mercy, and He will delight in that, and He will love that, and He will want you to continue to take advantage of that. God is not an angry, violent, Old Testament God. That God is there, but now we are living in a time of mercy. We're living in a time of grace, and the worst thing would be to live as if we did not have that grace. Would be to live as if we were still in the Old Testament and we had to push our sins a year down the road. No, God says, I got mercy today. I got mercy at 9 p.m. I got mercy at 11:30. And guess what? At 12:01 a.m., starts all over again. I got brand new mercies for tomorrow, because that's who He is. He is mercy. He is merciful. Micah 7, verse 18 says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in it. He retains not his anger forever. He enjoys mercy. Verse 19 says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. He's saying, he ends his book. It's the very last book in Micah. But he's reminding us what the psalmist put, that God delights in giving mercy. God enjoys giving mercy. And he tells us it's for Jacob, it's for Abraham, and it's for those beyond us. He's reminding us that it's not only for them before, it's for us moving forward. I was thinking and imagining, and if you'll allow me to use this analogy, I like to use awkward, maybe not most biblical analogies, but I imagine God as your grandmother at Christmas time. She has this wonderful gift. She's so excited for you to open up your gift at Christmas time. And you know, grandma, she's so happy. My parents and my wife's parents, my daughter's 10 months old. She's just now starting to realize when you give her a gift. I mean, within the last month, if you give her a baby doll, she is the church gave her a baby doll this past Sunday. My wife posted a picture. She is over the moon. Sister Kellum gave her a baby doll a couple of months ago, and we still have it, and it still makes noise. She loves baby dolls. But even when she was 4 weeks old at Christmas last year, they were so excited to give her gifts, as if a 4-week-old baby knows anything I mean, she's a log at that point, a very sweet and cute log, mind you. I love that log. She's now no longer a log, as you can tell, as she distracts Sister Sue Ann and Sister Pat. But, you know, a grandmother, she's so excited and anxious for you to open up that gift. And when you open that present, and the rare time it's actually the present you wanted and not something that only grandmas get for grandchildren, it's that PlayStation, or all of our youth are out of here, so maybe that won't relate. It's that paid off car. I don't know. What do we want? I would take that as a gift. But it's that thing, and she sees your face, and she's so excited, and she delights that you opened that, and she didn't care that it cost a lot of money, because grandparents don't care about that. They just want to see the look on your face, right, Sister Pat? You just want to see the look on their face when they open up that gift, and it was worth it all to see your expression. Now, that's exactly how Jesus is. I know it's a stretch of an analogy. Go with me. But Jesus, he's so excited. He doesn't care what it costs. He would gladly spend the money. He'd gladly spend the flesh. He'd gladly go to the cross for you just to see your face when you open up that gift and it's brand new mercy, untouched mercy, unclaimed, no one else's mercy. He's saying, I would gladly go to the cross. I would pay whatever price, whatever it costs, just for you to be excited about my mercy. Just, it's brand new. You've never seen anything like my new mercy. You've never seen anything like it. You thought yesterday's mercy was good. Today's mercy is brand new, and it's even better than yesterday's. It's even more than yesterday's. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, God, for brand new mercy. Every day, he's got brand new mercy. And it's because of his faithfulness that he has mercy for us. And it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. God is merciful because of his faithfulness, but God is faithful also because he is merciful. And you could probably tie in, God is good, God is holy because of, I mean, it's like a ball of yarn. You keep pulling, you think you found the end, but it's just all connected with God. It's just who he is. He is merciful. And have you ever been like myself and felt like you were actually pretty close to using up God's mercy for the day? Like you laid in bed that night and you're like, if that was a 55-gallon drum, I use 54 gallons of mercy today. And you used up quite a bit, and it would make perfect sense in our eyes for God's mercy to be like the brand new Popeye's chicken sandwich. That was so wonderful, people were so excited about it, and then before long, they ran out, and they still haven't replaced it. They're still scrambling, and it would make sense because I didn't even get one, but I heard it was tremendous. However, regardless how good it tasted, it will never match Chick-fil-A. It just will not. It will not. You cannot beat serving service, and you cannot beat playing gospel music and closed on Sundays. I don't care. Amen. But it's like that chicken sandwich that here today, gone for tomorrow, and it's out. There's no more of it. And it would make perfect sense in our mind if God would run out of mercy because we've used an awful lot of mercy. And we could just picture God in heaven looking for more mercy. Gabriel, where's that? With Titus has used an awful lot of mercy. Do we have any more? And Gabriel's looking and he only sees, I got loving kindness. Does that count? I got compassion. Does that count? No, I need mercy. But God does not panic when we use a lot of mercy. He is rich in mercy. He's full of mercy. Psalms, it says, Psalms 86 verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's got plenty of mercy for those that call upon him. If you call upon him, good news. He ain't out of mercy. He's plenteous in mercy, and he's got so much of it that he just doesn't know what to do with it. So he decides willingly and freely, I'm going to offer it up to each and every one of you. All you have to do is seek it. All you have to do is desire it. All you have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is fear him, and God will have mercy available for you. Too often we get to a place where we feel like, I said it before, but we just feel like we've done too much, that we've messed up too many times, that we've been so repetitive in our sin. We all have struggles. We've all battled things and faced things and hopefully overcome things. But each and every one of us could probably say there was this one thing that I really fought with. And if we went around the room, and we're not going to, but each and every one of us would probably have a different thing because we're different people. We have different weaknesses. That's just where we're at. But we can't sit there and say, we like to do this, that God has mercy for them because their thing isn't as bad as my thing. And my thing is really bad. And we like to take the whip and we whip ourselves. I am a sinner. There was a family in our former church that their children were members in our youth group, and the parents were going through a tough time and they were split, and the husband was really struggling and he was entertaining things and doing things that he should not have been doing. But I had a chance to talk with him, and he told me, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to do better. And in 3 or 4 months, I'll be ready to come back, but I just can't right now. I need to stay away from me. I just need to for me because I shouldn't be there at church, and I was an usher, and it'd be better for me. I can't come back yet. I need to for me, and I got to work through this, and it's just for me. And it's just the lie of the enemy, because he knew that he was wrong and he was trying to do better, but he thought it would be better for him, it'd be better for the church, it'd be better for his family if he had to pay some penance, if he had to beat himself up, if he had to rake himself over the coals, when God was standing there saying, there's no coals for you. You don't have to beat yourself up. I have mercy for you. I have love for you. You no longer have to do that to yourself because I am offering mercy for you. That's what God does. That's what God does. Mercy is listed in the scriptures 276 times in the King James Bible. There's 271 scriptures that I could add to this and go through and just talk about mercy. But I wanted to look at one specifically out of the Old Testament that we could close on, that God told Moses back in the Old Testament. And it's, you know the verse, Paris? Book of Titus. You're right. Thank you, Paris. It's Deuteronomy 4. And actually, if we could stand, we're nearing a close. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. It says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I want to read that again. If from now you will seek the Lord thy God, you will find him. You will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, which we are in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient to his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. He's saying, even in the latter days, not just for you, Moses, but even in the latter days, if you will turn to God and you will obey his voice, he is a merciful God. He will not forsake you. He will not destroy you, nor will he forget the covenant that he gave to your fathers. Regardless of where you're at, and I know that this is a Wednesday night, and I know that we're all at different places, but I'm not trying to close off anything too dramatic, but I'm just saying, regardless of where your family's at, regardless of where your kids are at, regardless of where anybody's at, we are in the latter days. They're not too far gone to turn to God and be obedient to His voice. There's nobody in this room, or there's nobody that we're connected to, there's nobody outside of this room that is too far away from God, that is outside of the reach of His mercy, that cannot turn and be obedient to His voice and turn to the Lord God. And if they will do that, for He is merciful, He will not forsake them nor destroy them. There is mercy for each and every one of us. God is standing there. He's standing at the bridge, standing at the gap, ready to offer mercy. I believe He's lined up each and every one of them. He's got buckets of mercy that He's ready to flip the switch and pour out mercy as soon as you call unto Him, as soon as you're obedient to His voice. God says, I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did the last 5 years. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. That's old news to me. I got mercy to cover all of that. Amen. God will not forget. He cannot forget that He is merciful. It's who He is. It's who He wasn't created. It's just who He is. It's not like it'll slip His mind. He is mercy. He is merciful. And when that mercy is available, we are to take full advantage of it. We are to delight Him by taking advantage of His mercy. That means just going for Him, going to the cross, wasn't in vain. It wasn't a waste. It wasn't a mistake. He didn't mess up. When we take advantage of His mercy, He does a backflip and says, I would do it all over again. If they would just take advantage, I would do it all over again. Amen. So as we close tonight, I want us to bow our heads. And I said it before, but where would we be without God's mercy? Picture that. Where would you be? You know, we all... None of us would be here if it wasn't for God's mercy. None of us would be here. Where would your family be without God's mercy? They may not be where you think they should be. They may not be where you hope they will be. But if it wasn't for His mercy, they'd be even further gone. But God has them exactly where He wants them. He sees them. And if it wasn't for the wonderful mercy of God, where would we be? So as we close this service tonight, I want us just to offer up a prayer of thankfulness for that mercy. Too often we go unthankful that we have the ability to come before the throne of mercy, of grace every day and receive that. So I want us just to spend a moment right where we're at. Let's just lift up our hands and let's thank God that He is rich in mercy, that He is plenteous in mercy. God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, God, for that grace, that mercy. We thank You, God, for what You did at Calvary. We thank You, God, that You saw each and every one of us, that You willingly went to the cross, that You willingly saw me in my sin, in my sorrow, in my tribulation, in my shame. And You said, oh, Titus, take advantage of my mercy. I got more mercy today. You didn't use up my mercy. I'm rich in mercy. I'm plenteous in mercy. I have mercy to wash all of that. I have mercy to cover each and every sin. Regardless of where you were last night, regardless of where you were last year, I got more mercy today. You may have taken advantage of my mercy a year ago and not taken advantage since, but oh, if You would just let me delight in You by taking advantage of my mercy. God, we trust You. God, we trust You. God, we trust You. God, we trust You. God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Let's just sing this together a couple of times. Make worthy. wash me in mercy.
I am clean.
Let's sing this one more time.
There's nothing too dirty you can't make worthy. Wash me in mercy. I am clean.
Come on, that's all right. Let's sing it one more time. Come on. Come on, let's thank Him. God, I thank You for Your mercy.
You wash me in mercy. I am clean. Nothing too dirty You can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy.
Be encouraged. There's nothing you've ever done. There's no sin that's dirty enough. It could be old, dirty rags that you came in. But God says, I got white robes. I got clean raiment. I have mercy, abundant mercy for you today. It's who I am. I am merciful. I am merciful. I am merciful. Merciful. Be encouraged tonight. God loves each and every one of us. God sees each and every one of us, and He has a plan for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed tonight. Shake someone's hand, hug someone's neck, and tell them you'll see them on Sunday.